Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Today we welcome back popular Tulsa singer, performer, and songwriter Rebecca Ungerman to Studio Tulsa. Last year she wrote and workshopped her first original musical, The Unwitting Wife, both here in Tulsa and at an Israeli theater festival. Now a song from that show has been selected for a showcase of female theatrical composers at the New York Musical Theater Festival next week. The Music Box, an evening of lady composers, features around 20 talented women composers, mostly from New York, but around the country as well. But before Ungerman heads to New York, she'll be performing this weekend in a thematically powerful musical titled Bear, a pop opera at the Performing Arts Center. That show is a Romeo and Juliet-esque story of two young men at a Catholic boarding school whose surrounding environment won't allow them to love each other. It's a strong story of identity and faith presented by a group called Frugensteinery Productions, whose sole purpose was to present this particular work. Rebecca Ungerman joins me today on Studio Tulsa. Rebecca Ungerman, welcome back to Studio Tulsa.
Thank you, Rich.
And this is a very busy week for you. You have a show this weekend at Summer Stage at the PAC, and then early next week you go off to New York to be a part of about 20 women composers who've had songs chosen for the New York Musical Theater Festival in their showcase for women composers. Tell us how this all came about.
Well, I got an email one day from my friend Michelle Miller-Dill, who's the musical theater director here at the University of Tulsa, and she said, "Hey, girl, check this out." And it was, you could submit online up to 3 songs to the Music Box, which is what they call their showcase for female theatrical composers. And about a week after the deadline, I got an email that said, "Congratulations." And they had selected one of my songs from The Unwitting Wife called The Republican Song.
Now, this is from a show you did. How did the show come together?
Well, the show came together. It was a last-minute opening in Summer Stage 2012, and my friend Lisa Cole had a great idea for the concept, and I took a great collection of my music and then wrote about 4 new songs for the show as well.
And it's interesting because the songs came somewhat before the show at some one point.
Absolutely.
And you sort of created a show around the songs.
We did. We found the story within the songs. But there was definitely a story to tell there, not surprisingly, a story about women and searching their sexuality and friendship. And it was very well done. We got to the point of workshopping it at the Tiberias International Theater Festival in November of 2012, and that was invaluable. We got to work with theater professionals from all over the world. And it's been kind of on the shelf since then because it's going to take quite a bit to develop it into a real musical, but how exciting to have this opportunity to have a song from that show featured in the showcase. Suddenly The Unwitting Wife is back on the front burner, and I'm looking at it again very critically to see how we can get it really fully produced.
And now there's about 20 women composers, some of them of which are music directors on Broadway. Some of them have been musical pit performers on Broadway or assistant conductors. Some of them have written multiple shows. Some of them have had shows produced off Broadway. There are no Broadway shows, but there are several that have had off Broadway shows.
That's one wrote part of Bring It On the Musical, which is now touring around the country.
And so this must be really, really exciting for you.
It's thrilling. And I was so happy to have my work accepted. And then the whole concept of actually going and meeting all these people and being able to network with 19 other theatrical composers. And, you know, up until a couple weeks ago, I would have called myself a songwriter.
Now you're a composer.
Right. Even though between Unwitting Wife and Tulsa, A Radio Christmas Spectacular, which was written by Cody Daigle, I wrote the songs for that. So I am a theatrical composer. I recognize that. But it is some tall cotton I'm going to be walking in. I'm real happy to do it, too.
And your song will be performed by, again, these are people in between shows in New York or some of them from on national tours. Many of them have come through Tulsa, I know, just from seeing their national tour credits. So these are Broadway performers doing your song. That's going to be a great thrill, isn't it?
Oh, it's going to be amazing. I had to provide sheet music and rhythm section charts, and I have no idea how they're going to stage it. It's a song that involves 3 voices, and I'm just not sure how it's going to sound, but what an amazing thrill. You're right. Everybody involved is at the top of their game.
Now, why don't we hear a little bit of the Republican song? Why don't you set it up for us?
This song opens the second act of The Unwitting Wife, where one of the characters has disappeared from her friends for a few weeks, and we find out it's because she was tied up in an interesting love affair.
All right. Here's the music by Rebecca Ungerman from her musical The Unwitting Wife, the Republican song, which will be featured at a showcase for the New York Musical Theater Festival, The Music Box, an evening of lady composers.
Before you knew it, we were laughing, and she touched me when I spoke. And for a minute, I'd forgotten that my heart was slightly broke. She wrapped her eyes around my brain, and she was quickly working south. But then the squealing of the brakes when she opened up her mouth. And then she said,
I am a Republican.
And I said,
I don't really think I can go out with you. I can't go out with you.
And then she said,
you think a Republican can't enjoy a drink with a Democrat? Well, I think I can. I can go out with you.
But she looked so fracking hot. I tossed 100 points of reference and everything she got. We talked until I got excited about what could be in store. It felt like everything was perfect till we talked about.
That's music by my guest today, Rebecca Ungerman, from her musical The Unwitting Wife. That song was one of three songs she submitted to the New York Musical Theater Festival for a showcase for female composers, and it was chosen, and it's going to be sung in New York as a part of the Musical Theater Festival this Wednesday. And she's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. What's going on with The Unwitting Wife at this moment? Because at this point, you've got some new life, and anything that shows up on Broadway or here in Tulsa through a national tour has undergone years and years. It's a multi-year process, and a lot of times it gets dropped. You come back to it. Is this something you're going to try to come back to at this point, or what?
100%, 100%. I knew when we came back from Israel that I needed to put it on the shelf for a while. That was such a daunting task within 6 weeks of just conceiving the show to put it up, even in the workshop form in Israel. We did that, put it back on the shelf.
What was the reaction? Was the reaction like, oh, this is good, but it needs a lot more work, or?
You know, the reaction that we got the most repeated comment was that the music was incredibly strong and they liked the story, but there were holes, definite big holes in the story, and I can see them more than anyone. And there are interviews that I want to do with people and other songs to look at. There's a lot of work to do with this. So what I hope now, possibly with this new good news about the New York Musical Theater Festival, maybe that will generate enough interest that I can get some grant money. And that's what I'm looking for as far as the future of The Unwitting Wife, is to truly go into development and develop the sucker so we can get it on stage.
Now, did you have a book writer already?
I had a dramaturg, Christopher O'Rourke, and he also directed the shows in Israel. And is definitely still a part of the world of The Unwitting Wife.
Well, let's talk about some of your other projects, because actually this sort of rolls right into it. You're doing Bear, a pop opera. And this is a musical or pop opera. It's kind of operatic, and it's sort of somebody dies at the end. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. I think it's kind of operatic like Rent is, where it's most 90% music and very little spoken dialogue.
Right. And the thing about Bear is, it was conceived in like 2001 or 2002. It had a couple of off-Broadway runs in 2004, 2005. It went back to L.A. for a while and another set of runs. It's constantly been reinventing. And in fact, the last run of it was Bear, a pop musical.
Right.
They actually changed it and put more dialogue into it. So that gives you a sense of, you know, what that process of creating a musical is. That must take some inspiration for it as you think about The Unwitting Wife.
Absolutely. It's such a strong show. I can see why Bear has had so many incarnations and why it continues to grow and evolve. It does. It inspires me so much because really musically, it's infected my ear. And in Bear, there's a lot of repetitive motifs in the music. And there are none in The Unwitting Wife because it came from separate songs that started the musical. And what I really want is to find that theme, that melodic theme that kind of echoes and ties in these different kinds of music.
You know, even in Rodgers and Hammerstein, the hit song, you didn't just sing it once. You sang it three or four times.
Exactly. And if they were riding a horse across the stage, you'd hear it in the instrumentation.
In some version,
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about Bear, a pop opera. You're going to be involved in this weekend at the Performing Arts Center. And this sounds like a really strong piece. And it's for mature audiences, but it sounds like it's a really powerful story.
It is one of the most serious shows I've ever done, honestly. And it's not to say it's not a great night of entertainment, because it is. The reason that I'm involved in Bear and I'm playing Sister Chantelle, which was originally written as an African-American nun, but we figured my inner sister was strong enough. And I volunteered my time to this company, Frugensteinery Productions, which was created for the sole purpose of putting the show on. Bunch of 20-somethings, some of whom the Tulsa theater community would know, like Tabitha Littlefield. Caitlin Cash has been in all of my reviews and Gridiron for the last several years. Lots of wonderful 20-somethings who believed that this show was very important and it was a story that had to be told. It's like United Artists to me, right? That's what it reminded me of. So I was so proud of them when they turned to me and said they needed someone to fill this role. I did what I really can't afford to do anymore, and I gave my time. Yeah. And that's my donation to the cast. But it's amazing.
But you play a sister that's basically casting a production of Romeo and Juliet.
Yes.
And there's no talent.
Yeah, this is a really high school production, and this is not a performing arts high school. It's a Catholic school. So, yes, there's some funny moments during those audition scenes.
But the story of the piece is two young men, roommates, who are in love and gay at a Catholic boarding school. They're trying to keep it a secret. There's a love triangle with a girl who loves one of the boys. There's another boy who's jealous. And it's really a Romeo and Juliet
story. Yes, you've got Romeo and Juliet in many ways in Bear.
It's the production that brings them all together, the little high school production. But mm-hmm. There's a Romeo and Juliet going on within the school as it's another type of forbidden love in this case.
Absolutely. And there are lots of forbidden things going on in this show because it's a Catholic high school. So you've got the drug culture and you've got this homosexual aspect. The fact that they're telling these stories at all, I sit in the room at rehearsal and I have to keep myself from crying because I've said this before. When I was in high school, one person came out and I watched people throw rocks at her and spit at her. So I didn't come out until I was 32 to the world, you know. And this, just to see it all right there on stage, is so thrilling, the passion of this show and the talent. We've got just amazing talent involved. Seth Payden and his real-life partner, Denny, are playing the leads, and the magic is just perfect between them.
That's a Bear, a pop opera, which goes on this weekend, Friday and Saturday at 8, Saturday and Sunday at 2 at the Dungeness Theater.
It's directed by Liz Hunt, whose brother Michael passed away very recently and was a great member of the Tulsa theater community. And the show is done in his honor. And part of the proceeds will be going to the Dennis Neal Oklahoma Quality Center. So come see this show, if for no other reason than to help the community, because it will.
All right. And now I have to talk about your own production company, Spinning Plates. You've got some things going on. The one thing I'm interested in is you're probably familiar with encores in New York. And a lot of the classic musicals that come back to Broadway get started through a stage performance. This is with the orchestra on stage, the actors in front sort of acting, singing just from a book.
Right, no sets, a musical.
Yeah,
no sets,
no costumes. It's just presenting, a lot of times, classic musicals that end up coming back out of these performances. This has been a staple in New York for a number of years. You're trying to do the same thing here.
I am. This Reader's Theater version of major musicals. I think it's the perfect thing for Tulsa. I think it'd be a great series, and I would love – it's something that I'm just so excited about tackling.
Now, you're going to try to start this off, what, in the coming year?
I am hoping April 2015 we'll see the first of the Little Big Musicals, which is what I'm calling the series. Right now, I'm in the process of obtaining the rights to The Color Purple. And I'm like Spielberg, the Jew who we will be directing The Color Purple. But I love the musical so much. I love the musical maybe even more than the book and the movie. I think you see, like, Mr.'s redemption is so much more clear, and so many of the loose threads are really resolved in the musical, and it's so well written. And I think we have talent in this town that needs to be seen and is never seen.
But it's in our African-American
community. Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. The thing about The Color Purple, it's not completely faithful to Alice Walker, but it is more uplifting in a way, because there is that redemption at the end.
Yeah.
And even though it's somewhat implausible given what's happened through the show, it is still the finale is one of the most, I mean, if it doesn't move you.
Right, you're dead. I'm telling you, if it doesn't move you, you're dead. And I love, you know, all the resolutions, like even Harpo and Sophia, who go through their struggles, end up with one of the funniest numbers in the show, and it's toward the end. Is there anything I can do for you? And it's the music is so well done. The Greek chorus of three ladies who kind of keep us up to date on what's going on. Everything about the show I'm just so excited about.
And so what's going to happen? How's this going to happen?
Well, I will be holding auditions, but I've already talked to some people in town, one of whom, Bran J. Jackson. I am really sure she's going to be my Shug. She's such an incredible entertainer in town. A lot of people already know her, and she's just born to play it. And I'm not going to drop any more names because nothing's really official, and I have to do auditions, but there are definitely people that I have my eye on.
And I assume you have several other musicals down the road that you would like to do. And will these be like recent musicals, or are you going to go back to old classic musicals?
All over the place. I was originally going to start with Hello, Dolly until they looked at it last year because – I love it, and I think the music of it is so powerful. But, you know, I want to do things that we haven't seen in Tulsa in a while and that everybody's going to love. And yeah, there'll probably be a little bit of social consciousness in pretty much everything I do.
Rebecca Ungerman, thanks very much for joining us.
Rich, thank you.
Rebecca Ungerman speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. She'll be a featured performer in Frugensteinery Productions' Bear, a pop opera, tonight and tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, Saturday and Sunday matinees at 2 p.m. at the Dungeness Theater of the Tulsa Performing Arts Center. You can learn more at tulsapac.com. Next Wednesday, Ungerman will be in New York, one of 20 honored female theatrical composers showcased at the New York Musical Theater Festival's concert, The Music Box, an evening of lady composers at the Ford Foundation Studio Theater. You're listening to Studio Tulsa. Earlier this week, we detailed the ongoing conversations in Tulsa about the city's role in the arts and in funding arts programs. Today, we hear about one of the entities affected by these discussions. For over 25 years, the Clark Youth Theater has offered classes, workshops, and award-winning theatrical productions to Tulsa area youths. In the preliminary budget discussions this past year, city support was cut. But in the final budget, funding was restored for the Clark, but not its adult theatrical counterpart, the Heller Theater. And moreover, the funding for the Clark could be sunsetted at the end of this fiscal year, next June. So what does the Clark do, and what impact does it have on Tulsa youth? My guest today is the assistant director of the Clark Theater, Frank Gallagher. Frank Gallagher, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
This has been a highly eventful spring and summer for the Clark Theater. When the preliminary budget came out for the city, it did not include funding for the Clark Theater. In fact, I think it's a large part to the audience you serve in the children that come through the Clark. They convinced city councilors to find money for this year. Give us a sense of where the Clark is for this coming fiscal year.
All right. Well, the city has, they changed their mind, essentially, basically because of what you said. The kids who had been at Clark worked very hard lobbying the city council. And so we have enough money to get us through a fiscal year. That's about till May or June for the youth theater program for Clark Theater. We will have a full slate of activities. In fact, even a little fuller slate than we've had in the past, to really reach out, offer opportunities to the Tulsa youth community to get involved in theater in a number of different ways.
Now, that comes with a caveat, which is this is the final year of city funding.
That's correct. This is an opportunity for the people who are involved, and we're talking about a council made up of moms and other people who are interested in youth theater. They have gotten even more organized than they were before, and their goal is to raise funds to keep Clark Theater going as, of course, a 501c3, as a privately financed nonprofit organization. And they have to raise the money in that time period that's been allotted.
Now, is the city still going to continue to offer facilities, or will that also... Is that still on the table?
That's still on the table. That's just to be worked out. We're in pretty brand new ground here. We're in unexplored territory, which makes it really exciting. But also it means, you know, we can't give all the answers. We're, you know, and the council is the one really sort of in charge at this point, or will be soon. So everything's being worked out, but in a real positive, mutually supportive way with the city.
Now the budget's not particularly huge. Was it around $100,000 for a whole year?
Just over $100,000. That's correct, yes. Yeah.
What does the Clark Theater do with $100,000? I know you have some performances, a few shows through the year, but really what the main focus of what the Clark Youth Theater is a lot of classes.
We do are offering a lot of classes this year. As far as our classes, in fact, we just got our schedule together just in the last couple of days. We finalized it. Of course, we're offering acting classes, comic improv classes, which are always very popular. We offer around three of those comic improv classes every week. Those are all on Saturdays. We're offering a series of workshops, a little bit of a new offering for us. We're going to do Shakespeare monologues. We're going to do a technical certification workshop and several others. And then we offer a slate of homeschool classes. This is done during the week, during the day, Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays, actually. And we've got some basic acting classes, we've got a Shakespeare class, we've got something resembling a speech class. So a lot of
offerings. So homeschoolers come in for that hour or an hour and a half? A
couple of hours.
A couple hours. And they basically get the equivalent of what they would have at a high school with you know, they can actually do acting, they can do scenes, they can do speech.
Correct.
So they're prepared. Yeah.
It's a credit. It's a high school credit. Yeah. Uh-huh. And the acting classes always end with a performance, a prepared, rehearsed performance. But it's a high school credit for any of these subjects.
Now, one of the things you have is a youth council. What does the youth council do?
The youth council is our teens who are more interested in getting involved on a regular basis. They're there sometimes several times a week for various classes and shows. And this year, I think the emphasis is on getting the youth involved in keeping Clark Theater going. First of all, they were the ones who went downtown and got it saved anyway.
Were they the ones that did some of the flash mobs and things like that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And it was, we had some city council members at Clark for a press conference, and every one of them said the reason that Clark Theater is being funded again was because of these young people who went down and spoke and were positive and expressed their passion for what Clark Theater meant to them. They were the ones that got us that extra funding. Well, we want them to continue on that, maybe by doing things online, by advocating, by putting up some fundraisers. And anyway, that's the youth council, I think, this year.
You mentioned extra funding. What you meant by extra funding was funding for an additional year. There's no extra funding.
Oh, right. Fundraisers. Yeah, we've got several fundraisers, and the council has fundraisers planned.
Yeah. How many kids do you serve at Clark Theater? Do you have a good number, total number?
Approximate. You talk about camps and classes and shows. If you're talking about the total number of participants, you're probably between 500, 750 kids. The camps are real, real popular. They always fill up. We've got, I think, 200 kids going through summer camp this summer alone. So between that and the classes and the shows, yeah, it would certainly be over 500, 600.
Now, are you drawing from all over the city?
All over the city. This is kind of a regional phenomenon. We get kids from Owosso, from Sepulpa, from Broken Arrow, from Jinx. They talk about the economic impact of the arts. This is an activity, this is an institution that brings in money from the surrounding areas back into Tulsa, not just to come to the shows, but to go out to eat after the show or before the show. A lot of these parents, again, are at the theater 3 and 4 and 5 days a week, and they're bringing in their economic impact into the city of Tulsa.
What's been the reaction from the community to the proposed cuts, and now that the cuts have been restored for this year, have you had any offers of support? Have you heard from various constituencies in the community about the Clark Theater?
Well, the arts community in general, of course, just with the cuts in general, the arts community, of course, rallied around both Clark Theater, Heller Theater, the PAC people. And that was, of course, crucial. None of this funding would have been restored without that kind of support from the larger community.
What about outside of the arts community? Have you heard from people since the Clark has been in the news?
The fundraising, of course, is up to the council. They are the ones who are in charge of that. I'm an employee, and I'm a city employee. So any kind of fundraising happens through this private 501c3 group that is our support. So, yes, they are in contact with people, and I know that they have ongoing conversations, but I'm not privy to exactly what's being said in those conversations.
Now, what could be the last season of the Clark Theater? If you're going to go out, you're going to go out with a bang. You have a number of productions. You're going to open with Oklahoma.
You bet. It just seemed like the appropriate thing to do this year. It's also Oklahoma that kept us around, and so we wanted to do kind of a little tribute to Oklahoma. So we are going to do the musical Oklahoma. In fact, I'm going to plug the auditions right now. We have auditions August 9th at the theater, which is called the Henthorne Performing Arts Center. And it's going to be a Saturday at 3 p.m., and we're going to have auditions, and we are certainly hoping to get kids from all over the area. After Oklahoma, we're going to do our annual Christmas special, the best Christmas pageant ever. I think we're at 28 years that we've done the best Christmas pageant ever. It always sells out. It's always very, very popular. We are doing our annual Shakespeare. We almost always do a Shakespeare, and that is going to be Taming of the Shrew, which is a fun, fun show. We're actually doing a special adaptation by Dan McGeehan, which is going to be, it's still the Shakespeare language, but he did an adaptation of it several years ago that was such a lovely, wonderful adaptation of that play. And then finally, we're going to end up with The Jungle Book, Disney's The Jungle Book for kids, for a little bit younger actors, say 14 or 15 and younger. And so two big-name musicals this year.
Yeah, no, it sounds like a lot of fun.
It is.
And what I look at just from the roster of classes, you're really teaching these kids a lot of skills that can help them, whether they turn into actors or whether they go into business or become a doctor, a lawyer, whatever. You're teaching them a lot of important skills.
Definitely. There's really almost no better training for people going into an adult world than actor, because it gives you confidence. It gives you communication skills that you did not have before. You know, a lot of kids, and I think especially today, there's a lot of electronics around. You're into your electronics. It's a very sort of solipsistic activity, and I do it myself. I mean, there's not criticizing. But the skill of empathy sometimes can be lost when we're doing everything solo. Well, this is a great activity to learn empathy, to increase your communication skills on just every single level. And we see these kids come out of the program so much more mature, so much more assertive and confident, secure in themselves than when they went in. It's a joy. You've got a group of actors working together. They're working together with the director. They're working with a choreographer, a music director. The designers get involved. A costumer gets involved. This is an incredibly collaborative art. They see that. Their only way that they are successful is if they can learn to thrive in that atmosphere. And it's all about teamwork. It's all about a community that joins together to put on a show.
If people want information on how they can help the Clark Theater in this sort of transition year going from a city program to a nonprofit program, how's the best way to get involved?
Well, probably the best way is to go ahead and contact us at the theater, and then we can refer them on to wherever they would best be slotted. But the theater number, telephone number, is 918-746-5065, 918-746-5065, and then my email, which is fine. Again, I can forward anything to whoever, is frankgallagher@cityoftulsa.org.
All right. Well, Frank Gallagher, we appreciate your time today. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Rich.
Frank Gallagher is the assistant director of the Clark Youth Theater. If you'd like more information on the Clark, visit cityoftulsa.org/HenthornePAC. Let's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.